In a battle of MVP candidates, Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills came out on top. I'm reacting to the Bills' Week 4 win over the Ravens today on Locked On Bills.
You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. I want to thank you for making Locked On Bills your first listen every day. And as a reminder to you, we are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Today's episode of Locked On Bills is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. You pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. That's prizepicks.com, promo code LOCKEDON. Happy Victory Monday to you. The Buffalo Bills defeated the Baltimore Ravens 23-20 and improved to 3-1 in a dramatic come-from-behind win. Folks, the Bills won a one-score game. I admitted last week on the podcast that I was becoming concerned over the Bills' recent history in one-score games, 0 for their last 7 prior to Sunday. And I also said that I was resistant to the idea for so long. I wanted to be dismissive of it because the Bills had been good in one-score games up until the start of last year. And here we are 1 week later, the Bills win a tight one-score ball game. And the Buffalo Bills public relations department was sitting on this one. Because as soon as the game was over, they released a statement that said, with the 23-20 win today, the Bills improved to 33-23 under Sean McDermott in games that were within one score in the fourth quarter. The Bills' 589 winning percentage in those games ranks 7th in the NFL since 2017. We made this a big deal, didn't we? And you kind of couldn't help it. Took them 1 week to kind of start flipping that script. Now, look, it's still an 0-7 stretch in one-score games, but it was a good reminder that the bigger sample size was always more important. And usually I do a better job of sorting through those types of narratives and knowing what to lean into and what to resist. And I fell for it last week. But Bills got a tight win, a significant win. In so many different ways. First of all, you get to 3-1, you win the ball game, but you get a tiebreaker over the Ravens, who's a team that's going to be right in it in this playoff picture when it's all said and done. It feels good to have that tiebreaker. It's a 17-point come-from-behind win. That's the biggest comeback of Josh Allen's career. It's the first time ever the Bills won a game on the final play of regulation. That blew my mind. Shout out to Mike Haim on Twitter for bringing that to everyone's attention. And it's the largest comeback win since 2011 for the Bills when they came back from down 21-0 against the Patriots. It's one of those games where you feel like the Bills are a tough and resilient football team, and you feel good about the makeup of the football team. The way that that game changed after the first quarter, or really the first quarter and a half, I even tweeted out, I said, did the Bills practice this week? I mean, that was a rough start. But they kept playing, the defense bowed up, and Josh Allen got it done on offense. Let's talk about things I liked, then we'll talk about things I didn't like, and then, of course, reflect on my predictions and kind of do a projecting things forward, talking about what's next for the Bills, and of course, the podcast. But when we start talking about things I liked, we have to mention, first and foremost, All-Pro Poe. Jordan Poyer. Two interceptions, and man, did they come at huge moments. Both in the fourth quarter. It was a 20-20 ball game. First play of the fourth quarter. First and 10 for Baltimore from the Ravens 48. They had the ball at midfield. First and 10. Lamar Jackson drops back to pass. Prince Amealy tips it up, and Jordan Poyer goes and gets it. Huge play in the game. And then, of course, what could be bigger than his second interception? Fourth and goal from the 2? 14th play of a drive that covered 93 yards? 4:15 left in the ballgame? They're going to go for it. They're not taking the chip shot field goal and the lead. They're going for a touchdown. And first of all, Jordan Poyer, great play. We'll get to that. But how about the job of Shaq Lawson and Greg Rousseau on that play? A beautifully executed contain rush. They stayed under control. They forced Lamar Jackson to drift backwards in the pocket, not giving him anywhere to step up or go to his left or right. And Lamar Jackson has no choice but to kind of just throw it up. And he had somebody open. But Jordan Poyer broke on that football, and he beat Devin Duvernay to the ball. Big time play. And so, yes, Jordan Poyer made the interception, but let's not lose sight of Shaq Lawson, who got held like crazy on the play, which should have been called, but wasn't, right? If the Bills didn't get the interception there, or for some reason they were able to convert that play, we would be livid right now about the non-holding call on Shaq Lawson. But him and Greg Rousseau with a great rush, making Lamar Jackson heave it up. Jordan Poyer comes down with his second interception of the fourth quarter. You notice that Von Miller wasn't in the game for that play? Money play, right? Huge defensive play. I thought Von Miller did some good things in this game, but we'll get to it in things I didn't like, but his rush lanes were very poor at times, getting way too far up the field. And on a critical down like that, you have Shaq Lawson and Greg Rousseau in the game, and they have the perfect rush to force that throw. So on things I liked, we have no other place to start than Jordan Poyer. He's played 3 games. He has 4 interceptions. My goodness. All the talk about his contract status, dude is forcing the issue. Forcing the issue. Betting on himself. Said, I'll go play. I'll show you what I'm worth. My goodness, that price tag's going up. And he deserves every penny. How about the defense in general? Obviously, Jordan Poyer's 2 interceptions. That's a lead story. But I just appreciate so much about what this defense did on Sunday. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't perfect, but they kept playing. And that was one of my keys, if you guys remember. I said, just keep playing. Lamar's going to make his plays. Just keep playing. It's a mental toughness game. And the Ravens started this game with a short field, right? After the Marlon Humphrey interception, they've got 4 yards to go to the end zone. Baltimore quickly goes up 7-0. The offense continues to put them in some bad spots. Obviously, Devin Singletary's fumble. And on the first 4 possessions of the game for Baltimore, they go touchdown, touchdown, field goal, field goal. And it's a 20-3 ball game with 3 minutes and 39 seconds left in the second quarter. They go touchdown, touchdown, field goal, field goal. And then that was it. From there, they had 6 more possessions. A punt, end of half, 2 more punts, and their last 2 drives are both interceptions. Their last 6 drives, after going up 20-3, they ran 33 plays and gained a total of 133 yards. That's a big time. That's big time bowing up and giving your offense a chance to come back. Poyer made the splash plays, but how about those linebackers? How about Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano? These guys are playing unbelievable to start this year. Unbelievable. Matt Milano, 13 tackles, 2 tackles for loss. Big time stops in space. Really big tackles by Matt Milano. And same with Tremaine Edmonds, 9 tackles, 2 tackles for loss. Had the big quarterback hit. Great blitz and really kind of flushed Lamar Jackson out at a key point. Greg Rousseau had a half a sack. Von Miller had a sack. We talked about Shaq Lawson and what he did on that last defensive play, but I thought he played a good ball game throughout, and Shaq does well against the Ravens, and that's because he's such a smart player in terms of his contain rush. I thought Daquan Jones up front was stout. Thought the young players in the secondary and Damar Hamlin and Kyer Elam played well. You never really noticed them being on the wrong side of good plays for Baltimore. I mean, Baltimore came out and played a clock control game. They possessed the ball for over 38 minutes, but the Bills' defense just kept battling. And while it was a collective effort, I shout out Poyer, Edmonds, Milano, Lawson, Rousseau, Jones. Thought those were the best players on the field for the Bills' defense. Nobody played bad, but those guys really stood out to me. Those guys really, really stood out to me. I hope you've gotten in on the action over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is my favorite daily fantasy resource. How does it work? You pick 2 to 5 players, and if they will go on to score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. There's no competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. And Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch. So it's not just NFL. They have NBA, MLB, NHL, PGA. You name it, you can find it. And entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. So very fast. It's that easy. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match of up to $100 with promo code Locked On. So if you deposit 100, Prize Picks will give you 100. If you deposit 50, Prize Picks will give you 50. Don't forget to enter promo code Locked On at sign up for an instant deposit match worth up to $100. We got more stuff in things I liked, but you know, I was going long there. I had to get the break in. And so let's now shift our focus to the offensive side of the football, where some good things also happened there. Josh Allen, was this the most amazing statistical day of his career? No. But he did what he needed to do to win this game. 19 of 36, 213 yards passing, touchdown, and of course the interception. 11 rushes for 70 yards with a touchdown. He made some big-time plays. The fourth down conversion was just insane. That's a play that very, very few players can make. The throw to Dawson Knox was unbelievable. 3rd and 2 from the 28 on the game-winning drive. And he lofted it up over the coverage and got it to Dawson Knox for a big-time play down the field. It was 3rd and 2. They didn't convert that. They had to punt. They had a punt. Big-time throw from Josh Allen. And this was his first game-winning drive since week 8 in 2020. It's been a while. It's been a while since Josh had a moment like this. Obviously, the biggest comeback of his career in terms of points down to win a ball game, but also just getting another game-winning drive. Did it without Isaiah McKenzie or Jamison Crowder. He managed that situation extremely well. And I think just overall, Josh, the way that he handled this game impressed me. I think they got a lot more zone coverage than they expected early on. And then that allowed the Ravens on defense to kind of mix things up, work in their man stuff, work in their blitzes. And they had a lot more of a diverse game plan than I was expecting defensively. And I think the Bills, too, hung in there, overcame some adversity early in the game, and then made the plays down the stretch to win it. How about Devin Singletary in this game? I know that he fumbled and had a drop. I don't love those things. But 11 rushes for 49 yards on the ground. He's the only running back with a prayer to help this football team right now. And then also had 4 catches for 47 yards. And I want to highlight that because Josh is really relying on him quite a bit right now in the passing game because, look, there's a lot of bodies in coverage. I don't know that Josh has a whole lot in terms of targets that he really, really loves going to besides Steph Diggs right now. And Devin Singletary's kind of been that guy that Josh has been able to rely on to get the football to and allow him to stay patient and look for Devin. I think Devin has been a nice answer for Josh Allen. And when you do the math here, 49 on the ground, 47 through the air, I mean, that's almost 100 yards from scrimmage. That's a good game. That's a good game. I thought pass protection held up reasonably well in this game. I know that we're not going to love the run blocking, but pass pro was really good. And Baltimore did challenge with some blitz looks, and I thought the Bills adjusted very, very well to that and kept Josh Allen clean. I know he was sacked once, but it was more of a it wasn't like a clean win by anybody. OA won with hustle for a 12-yard loss. Thought the pass protection held up well. I thought the coaching staff made really good adjustments in this football game. Defensively, I thought they were playing a little bit too straight up early. They got back to more of their disguise stuff, made Lamar think a little bit more. The success for the Bills defense came. Offensively, I think they adjusted well, Ken Dorsey did, to how Baltimore was mixing things up and playing a lot of zone early. And then Dorsey was in his bag on the two screen calls, the Shakir screen and the Devin Singletary screen that went for big plays. Those were timely. That was good anticipation of how the Ravens were going to play him and good execution by the team. I like that Tyler Bass, 3 for 3 on field goals, 2 of 2 on extra points. He was perfect. And it was in the rain, right? Outdoors, off grass. I mean, those are the most difficult conditions to kick a field goal in. And Tyler Bass was perfect, 5 for 5 on the day, scored 11 points, including the game winner. And I think that's the first game winner of his career. I could be wrong about that, but I don't remember another one. He's hit big kicks. But in terms of a game winner, I know it was a chip shot. But with how field goals have been so far in the NFL this year, it feels like they're getting blocked left and right. You're talking about wet conditions, outdoors, breezy, rainy, grass, 11 points, perfect 5 for 5. That's a great job. Also a great job, Sam Martin. His fourth quarter punt was huge. Huge. So after the Poyer pick, the Bills took over the ball at the 50-yard line. The 50. A tie ball game. We're all excited, right? They're going to get points here. They're going to take the lead. Well, they didn't. The Bills offense lost 11 yards on 3 plays. And they have to punt. They're punting from the 39. And Sam Martin uncorks a 56-yarder to pin Baltimore at the 5-yard line. That's big time. That's complimentary football. That's what Sean McDermott talks about all the time. That was a big play in the game. We cannot overlook it. We cannot overlook it. You know what you also cannot overlook is Built Bars. These are the best tasting protein bars on the planet. And they have the puffs now. And I love the puffs. And I'm not even a big marshmallow guy, but these things are delicious. It's a protein-infused marshmallow covered in 100% real chocolate, super healthy for you, low sugar, low fat, high in protein, and we're talking about collagen protein that your body will actually absorb. There's so many different flavors that are delicious. You can get variety packs, and they're coming out with new flavors all the time. So check out Built.com to see what's new. And if you want to try Built Bars, the best-tasting protein bars on the planet, I do have a deal for you. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off at Built.com. We all know when it comes to sports, teamwork is everything. Every player on the field has their role that contributes to helping their team win. And honestly, it's the same when it comes to game day snacking. Whether it's making the dip or bringing the chips, everyone has their role. And if it's you bringing the chips, let me tell you, I'm about to make you the MVP because Zach's Mighty Tortilla Chips are out here changing the game. These are the best tortilla chips in the market, My wife and I, we love them. We had chili this week, and we loved having those Zach's Mighty Tortilla Chips to dip in there. They're delicious, they're crunchy, and they're made to dip. And when you have that bowl of guacamole in front of you, you never have to worry about them breaking in half when dunking them in guac. They are sturdy, and they're delicious. And I love that they're grown from organic Flint corn in upstate New York. So be the hero of this week's tailgate and grab a bag of Zach's Mighty Tortilla Chips at your local Wegmans. Zach's Mighty Tortilla Chips, making you the MVP. So there's a lot to like about this game, obviously, but there is some things that I did not like, and so let's touch on that right now. I think you got to start that conversation with the start of the game. How the Bills started this game, it was awful. They won the toss, and they chose to receive. And you should never choose to receive the ball. Never. Analytics tell you that you have a better chance of winning a game if you choose to defer, because you want that double dip opportunity. You want that opportunity to have a late possession in the second, in the second quarter. You want that first possession of the third quarter. You always want that. And you also want the most information about how teams are going to play you and how to adjust. It's a smart thing to do. They chose to receive, and I understood why they chose to receive, because the rain was coming. The rain was coming, and it wasn't there early in the game. And so you try to have as many possessions as you can when the weather was good enough for you to score, and obviously you gain a lead, and obviously Baltimore is a type of team offensively that wants to run the football. They're not a super dynamic passing offense, and so you get a lead, and you kind of put the pressure on them to stay pace with you with a modest passing offense. And the Bills win the toss, they receive, and they throw an interception. Calais Campbell, Ravens defensive tackle, he tipped it. I think Dawson Knox could have done more to work back to the football. He doesn't. And Marlon Humphrey grabs the ball, returns it to the 4-yard line. That was a terrible start. And then you kick a field goal, and then you have the Devin Singletary fumble. I mean, turning the ball over on two of your first three drives is awful to start a football game, especially when it's going to rain. And you get nervous about being able to come back in the rain. So the start of this game was awful. Look, and I would say it was just on offense, but it was on defense too. That second drive for Baltimore, it was long, and they did whatever they wanted. They did whatever they wanted. Scored a touchdown. Start was bad. Obviously, we like how they finished. But they had to finish strong because they put themselves in a bad spot to begin with. Didn't like the Devin Singletary fumble. Didn't like the James Cook drop. You know, James Cook is a challenging player for me right now. I know what he can bring to this team. Know the athleticism. I know the perceived receiving talent. But man, is it shaky when he gets opportunities. It just doesn't feel like there's a lot of confidence, or he exudes a lot of confidence when he has opportunities. I mean, the fumble in week one, he's had drops. And I don't think he has confidence right now. And I don't know how much time you can commit to trying to give him more opportunities to build that confidence. I know that they did late in the Tennessee game, and that was smart. But somehow there's a layer that he can bring to this football team. It's just not there right now. And whenever that wants to start showing up, that'd be great. Drops were an issue, and I know that it was wet and raining. I know that it was wet and raining, but I don't like that Crowder had a drop. Diggs had a drop, a touchdown right through his hands. I know it was raining. Singletary, Cook, that's off the top of my head. Gabe Davis had a drop. So, look, you expect that to some degree, but when I think about things I didn't like that they dropped the football. Didn't like that. Didn't like the injuries to wide receivers. Jamison Crowder, looks like that might be pretty significant. Was carted off, seen in crutches in a walking boot after the game. And then, of course, Isaiah McKenzie with a concussion. So, you know, McKenzie has to clear protocol. And who knows with Crowder? Meanwhile, Gabe Davis just isn't offering much right now. And I'm sure it has something to do with his ankle, but he's just not offering much. And so you start to really think to yourself, well, what does this team have in the passing game? Diggs. And Knox has been okay. I know he's been banged up, but he hasn't been like a big-time difference maker. He's made some plays. McKenzie's been pretty good. But right now, there's not that number two guy that you look at and say demands 100 targets. And maybe, look, maybe it's just Gabe Davis needs to get healthy. But I just don't love, I don't love the overall outlook of these Bills weapons. They've got guys, but what's really clicking? What's really clicking? Diggs and what else? They're scoring a lot of points, right? They're doing pretty well, but I want to see this kind of come together more. And maybe we got spoiled because of the first two games, right? And big, you know, big wins over the Rams and Titans, and we felt really good about so much that was happening with this offense. But I have some level of concern just about it all working right now. Got a big chance against the Steelers this coming week, and then you have the Chiefs. Then you have the bye. But I'm looking for this Bills offense to find a little bit more consistency and a little bit more trust from Josh to his weapons. I don't think Josh is doing anything wrong. I think it's just developing a little bit more comfort and consistency with what's around him. And maybe it's as simple as Gabe Davis gets healthy and he's a really excellent number two and everything else is an ancillary piece and you're fine with it. But right now, you're kind of, you have Diggs and then you wish you had that two and you'd be satisfied with everything else if you had that number two. Right now, it's just not Gabe. It's not him right now. And I'm sure the ankle has a lot to do with it. I'm sure of it. But I want to see him get healthy, and I want that number two spot to really be solidified within him, and then let everything else be an ancillary component of what you're doing. But there's just so much room for this offense to be more effective. It's not bad, but there's just more. There's more room for this to evolve. Hopefully that makes sense what I'm trying to say there. Let's look at my predictions, see how I did. I had five predictions. My first one was that the Ravens would come below season averages for yards and points. I got that correct. 33 points per game was their average. They're down to, they had 20 points. Their average was 363 yards per game. They had 296. That's the eighth straight opponent that the Bills have held under 300 yards. It's a team record. I predicted Josh Allen would have more total yards and more total touchdowns than Lamar Jackson. I got that correct. Josh had 283 total yards and two touchdowns. Lamar had 217 and one touchdown. Predicted that James Cook would have 55 yards or more from scrimmage. That didn't happen. I predicted that the Bills would have a first-time touchdown scorer this season. And I said Knox, Crowder, Moss, or Cook. That didn't happen. But I did predict that the Bills would win, and that did happen. Just a quick spin around the AFC East. Miami is 3-1. They lost to the Cincinnati Bengals 27-15 on Thursday night. The Jets, they beat the Steelers. They're 2-2. 24-20 win over the Steelers. Zach Wilson returned from his injury. And then the Patriots, they're 1-3. They fell 27-24 in overtime to the Packers. Next up for the Bills, a home date with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And a home date is a welcome thing because the Bills opened up three of their first four on the road. So they have 12 games left, 7 at home, 5 on the road. So you like that. You went 3-1 in this stretch, and now you have a unbalanced schedule the rest of the way in favor of home games. And this is already a year where you had 9 away and 8 at home. So you were already under the 8 ball there. But now that you've kind of gotten through this 4-game stretch, you can look forward with 12 to play, 7 at home, 5 on the road. And then, of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers are coming to town. I think they're 1-3. They benched Mitchell Trubisky this week during the game against the Jets, putting Kenny Pickett. Came in and threw three interceptions. He was 10 of 13 with three picks. He did have two rushing touchdowns. So we'll see what their plan is at quarterback, if they're going to give Kenny Pickett his first start in the NFL on the road against the Bills, or if it's going to be Trubisky. So we'll see what all happens there. Of course, we'll talk about it all week here on the podcast, so don't miss anything. Tomorrow is Herd Mentality, which I will record tomorrow afternoon. So if you have something, get it in early. That way I can incorporate it. I get a lot of questions, so we'll try to do the best we can on stuff that's sent in. But tomorrow, Herd Mentality. Wednesday will be our primer on the Steelers. We'll get ready for them from every angle. Thursday, we'll talk to Locked On Steelers in our crossover discussion. And then, of course, Friday, leftover thoughts, predictions, all that stuff. So a big week ahead as we talk about this Bills football team and getting them to 4-1 this week, home against the Pittsburgh Steelers. All right, folks, enjoy your Victory Monday. As always, I kindly ask that you share, subscribe, rate, and review. Have a great rest of your day, and I look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow.